Let us turn to the Epistle of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. We shall read verses 12 and 13. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy loving kindness. For we know that Thou hast sustained us in the past and hast brought us safely this morning into Thy house. Lord, once again we thank Thee, for we really know that Thy grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. But as we come here this morning, we remember whatever we have done in the past. Lord, we may not have glorified Thy name. Sometimes we could be stumbling blocks, preventing others to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us. Maybe we have done wrong against our fellow countrymen, and we have done wrong against Thee. Use the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness, so that as we come unto Thy presence to worship Thee, our worship might not be in vain. Lord, as we gather here, we also pray for those brothers and sisters who are not with us this morning. Some may be entangled by many of their worldly affairs. Forgive them and bring them back once again. Lord, use Thy Holy Spirit to enlighten them. Make them aware that as children of God, it is Thy will that we should all come unto Thy house to worship Thee on the Lord's Day. Lord, we pray for those who are physically unwell. We pray especially for Elder Mahadevan, and we thank Thee that Thou hast enabled doctors to help him to recover. But we still have to commit him unto Thy hand and pray that Thou would continue to use doctors or any other means to help him to become healthy again. We pray for some brothers and sisters who are unwell. We do not know, but Thou knowest well. And we commit all this unto Thy hand. Lord, we pray for those brothers and sisters who are in sorrows, in sadness. May Thy word comfort them. We pray for those who are in need, that Thou will provide them with their daily needs, so that they would lack nothing. This morning as we gather here, quieten our hearts, so that we may be truly able to accept Thy word, and be a lamp to guide us in our heavenly path. We thank Thee all in Jesus' name. Amen. A very good morning to brothers and sisters in Christ. I would like to thank the session and especially my senior, Reverend Toh, for inviting me to preach here once in a while. I think I have not very much opportunity to be here, and I count it a privilege to share with you the Word of God. Once in the U.S. prison, there was a convict. He was imprisoned for about 12 years. Now the inmate or his fellow prisoner who was staying together, or rather the cellmate who stayed with him. In the very beginning, this cellmate was very temperamental and wicked. And the way that he behaved showed that he was totally a very wicked man. And so this prisoner was watching him every now and then until about 10 years and 2 more years to go. But it seemed that this cellmate has changed. And by and by, his way of talking to other people and his behavior and all this have changed. And suddenly he was very surprised. And so he asked this cellmate, say, how come that before you were very wicked and temperamental and so forth, and now you have become a totally new man? Well, this man was very happy and said, no, because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's someone who had come here and preached the word of God, and so I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm no more the same man. I remember many years ago, in 1983, when we were on our trip to the ICCC, and at the same time going to the Holy Land, led by our beloved Pastor Reverend Toh, there were so many students who wanted to join the Holy Land trip. One of them was Patrick Lee. Now, Patrick was originally a pickpocket and a thief, and he was being arrested and put into prison. And so when applying for the U.S. visa, the U.S. said, no, we think this, he has got not a very good background. We do not welcome him to the States. But Reverend Toh said, no, he's a changed person. He's no more a thief. He's now going to become a preacher. He cannot be the same person as he was before. Now, beloved, I think the change usually will manifest that we are truly the children of God or not. Today, my topic is that, what kind of image do you have? I think our image is very, very important. It's just like the convict who was in prison for about 10 years and suddenly his way of life is totally changed. Why is the image so important? I think over here, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Christians of Thessalonica. Thessalonica is about roughly about 120 miles east of Ephesus, though nothing was said that Paul had been to that church. But nevertheless, he loved the church very much. And he wrote to them by saying that, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, etc., etc. Now, Paul was trying to tell them that you are different. You are not like unbelievers. Today, so often that whenever I brought my grandson to the cello class, just opposite there, there was a booth selling 4-digit lottery. And I see that there are so many people queuing up and so forth. In fact, in the very beginning when I was in Singapore, I got very surprised. I was thinking, what kind of business was that? You got to queue up like that. Perhaps I would engage in that kind of business. Unfortunately, it's a 4-digit, so I would not do so. Because if I do that, my image is tarnished. What kind of image do you have? Paul said, as the elect of God, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, we are being elected by God. We cannot behave like any other non-believers. Non-believers can have many wives at the same time. They don't think that it is wrong, but on the contrary, they say it is a glory. Non-believers can cheat people. They can do all sorts of vices, but we cannot do that. At one time when I was bringing a FEBC student who was on the point of going back to Jakarta to serve there, then I said, brother, would you like to go to Genting Highlands since you have not been to Malaysia? I said, oh, certainly. It's an opportunity to be there. And so I brought him to Genting Highlands. Now when we were there, we looked at every place and then the son was so happy because there was a children's playground over there too. But there was a casino there. Then he was asking me, what is that? I said, that's a casino. I said, we'd rather not go near there. Lest anyone see a pastor near there, you may think that the pastor also goes into the casino. I think it's not very wise to do that. So we left that place. Because our image is so important. We are the elect of God. We are unlike non-believers. Non-believers can do anything they like and nobody would criticize them. But do you know that everyone is watching you and me? Just as the prisoner who was watching the convict. So Paul has said that you are to be what? To put on the true image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they are all together because of time limit. I'm taking verses 12 and 13. They're all in all about six characteristics that we need to have at least. First of all, the Apostle Paul said, you've got to have the bowels of mercies. Merciful. What is merciful? Something that someone has done wrong. And he or she is supposed to be judged and sentenced. But then, see, because you are so mercy, that you would let him or let her go. At one time, our elder of Rawang Church, he had a durian orchard. And very often when there was a harvest, he would be there. Unfortunately, there are some Indonesians who, I'm not saying that all Indonesians are bad, so please, the Indonesian students don't misunderstand me, see. But one Indonesian came and stole the durians, and he was caught. And then people brought him to this elder. He said, your durian's being stolen by such and such. There was another deacon having another orchard nearby. I think that deacon was afraid that if we are not going to deal with him harshly, something would happen eventually next time. So we better bring him to the police station. But Elder Teo said, no. This thief begged for mercy. He said, please, next time I will not do that from now on. All right, Elder Teo said, all right, I don't wish to see you again in my orchard. Please go away. Beloved, that is mercy. That particular thief is supposed to be brought to the police station, and yet he was not, because the elder had mercy upon him. Now God wants you and me to be merciful. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Psalm 103 and 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, when the Pharisee and the others all approached him, the Pharisee was supposed to be very pious people, and they were worshipping God and being so pious in Judaism. So Jesus said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Beloved, I think merciful is very, very important. You may be giving a lot to the Lord, but if you are not merciful, that is equivalent to nothing. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. In two passages, Matthew chapter 9, verse 13 and 12:7, Jesus repeated that again. Said, the Lord would like to have mercy. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 said the same thing. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Do you know that God is so merciful that we originally should be condemned to hell? But because of God's mercy, you are freely justified because of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is merciful, and He wants you and me to be merciful. Secondly, kindness. The Apostle Paul said, bowels of mercy and kindness. I think kindness is very closely interrelated with merciful. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul said, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. All the characteristics need kindness. If you are not kind, you are not able to forgive people. If you are not kind, you will not be merciful. So kindness is something that you and I should have. It is a character that truly comes from a person's heart and not from the mouth. Some people treat other people just outwardly, or so nice and so forth. But in the heart, you are not truly kind. That will not be right. You must have kindness truly coming out from the heart. Even if someone has done something wrong against you, and you would rebuke, but because of your kindness, you would not do that. You will sympathize and have mercy with love. Thirdly, humility. Our principal, Reverend Toh, often said that Calvin's theology said, if you learn theology, you've got to be humble and humble and humble, or rather humility, humility and humility. In other words, humbleness is so important in our life. What is humility? Humility is one who recognizes his or her own weakness and would not think of how great he is and so forth, or she is. Very often we see that people are so big-headed. I do not mean to say physically you are big-headed. No. But because of your pride. Today we have many kind of trouble. And one of the troubles is that many people will not believe in the verbal plenary preservation of the Bible. Now why do these people do like that? Because they have learned too much. And they have learned about higher criticism and textual criticism and so forth. I have learned from such a great master, and the book tells me so and so, see. And there are discrepancies over here and there, see. So the Bible is only right as far as the original manuscript is concerned. Do you know that often troubled me very much in my life? The question keep coming out. I say, if God were to give us a perfect Bible in the very beginning, what happened to the following one? Now the one that I'm holding in my hand, I have I have doubt. I don't know whether this is really the word of God. But why did these people have that kind of thinking? Because their head is so big. They have been learning under so well-known teacher and so forth. And in fact, this teacher are putting poisons into their mind. So that they deny. Because why? They are not humble. If they are humble enough, they will admit that we are very foolish. We do not know what God is going to do, but there is a good will in there. We cannot understand, see. We'll have to wait and see. Humility is very, very what? Important. See? Now, James 4, chapter 6 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Proverbs chapter 16 verses 18 and 19 said, pride goeth before destruction. Be careful. Pride goeth before destruction. If you are proud, what happens is that eventually you'll be destructed. And an haughty spirit before a fall. Beloved, let us be very, very careful. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Are you proud or are you humble? Let us not be proud. Let us be humble. Let us know that our knowledge is so limited. We cannot understand, sometimes we cannot understand what God means and so forth. But we should be what? Be able to be patient and wait for it. Proverbs 29 verse 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. If you are proud, I tell you, it becomes low. But if you are humble, the Lord will uphold you up. Be ye humble. Fourthly, meekness. What is meekness? That's gentleness. One who is gentle and not temperamental. One who does not get drunk and fight and always with what? With gentleness. Many, many years ago, while I was in a restaurant having a dinner with another pastor of another church, and that pastor was going to introduce a pastor to come to Trinity Church. In those days, I was with Trinity Church, so that pastor was going to introduce the new pastor to come to the church. And so we sat down and have dinner together. Next table, there were about three or four Christians. And in fact, these people are related to Mrs. Kwa. What happened was that they kept drinking beer and liquor and so forth. Well, whether they pretended or not, I did not know. But eventually it came to a fight and so forth. But they came over to this table and wanting to bully the pastor over here, the new pastor supposed to come here. And that matter was very serious. Even it went to the synod. And so what happened was that Trinity Church had to apologize because those young people belong to Trinity Church. Beloved, I think meekness is very, very important in our life. Are you meek? Are you gentle? Or in your way of life, you treat people in what way? Now, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When you are meek, you will be inheriting whatever the Lord will give you. Paul in Titus chapter 3, verse 2 says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Beloved, are we able to do that? Do not speak evil of any man. Let us not be brawlers, but be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. One of the men which has the most meekness in the Bible is Moses. If you read up Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Well, I think if we have that kind of praise by the Lord, I think it will be so wonderful. But the problem is that, are you meek? Or are you treating people with forces and so forth? Fifthly, long-suffering. What is long-suffering? Well, I think the word explains itself. Suffer for a long, long time. Long-suffering. In other words, patient. Able to wait and not to explode in anger or express dissatisfaction. Once when I was with Reverend Toh going to Pontianak, in those days, there was no direct plane, no direct flight to Pontianak. So there were two ways going to Pontianak, Kalimantan. One is to go by way of Jakarta, and then there you take another plane to Pontianak. The other way was to go to Kuching, and from Kuching, then you take a plane to Pontianak. When we arrived there, there was such a big crowd. People were squeezing and asking to go, to buy a ticket to go to Pontianak. In fact, we were told that there was no places, no seats, nothing at all. But our pastor, Reverend Toh, was very patient. He was standing there, I was very impatient. I did not have that kind of patience, but he was able to. He stood there and waited. I think long-suffering is very, very important in our life. Are we very hot-tempered? And everything that we do, we are hurriedly wanting to have it done, this and that. We must be patient. The Apostle Peter mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, said, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Again, long-suffering was mentioned by the Apostle Peter in the same chapter, chapter 3, verse 15. It's repeated again, see? So long-suffering is something that the Lord is waiting for you and me to come to repentance, to be there. And also He wants you and me to have that kind of characteristic. Beloved, we are created in the image of God. Though we have lost our image because of Adam and Eve, but then it has recovered through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be able to retain that kind of image in our life. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering.'" God is long-suffering. Numbers 14:18. "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." God is long-suffering. He wants you and me to be long-suffering too. Finally, the sixth characteristic, forgiving one another. I've already mentioned that Elder Teo was merciful, but then he was willing to forgive. not only willing to forgive, but to forgive and to forget. People who have done wrong against us, are we willing to forgive and to forget? And I think this is very, very important. So Paul mentioned just now in the verse that we read in Colossians chapter 3 verse 13, he said, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye, so also do ye. In other words, Christ has forgiven us of all our wrongdoings and sins and so forth. We must be able also to do that. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Prayer, we have recited just now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Notice the word as we. Jesus Christ did not say that. You simply have to forgive, that's all, you see. He said, as we forgive our those who trespass against us. In other words, the forgiveness starts from what? From we. We should do that. Otherwise, God will not forgive us. If we are not willing to do that, God will not forgive us. So it is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Jesus said, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There was a parable in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this parable about a king who had two servants. The first servant who owed him 10,000 talents. According to what I read from books, 10,000 talents, if you save a lifetime with a good salary, I think you are not able to accumulate 10,000 talents. And so this servant owed the master, the king, 10,000 talents. When the king wanted to reckon what he owed and called him, he said, give me back my money. Lord, I'm not able. He begged for forgiveness and mercy and so forth. And I think this king had mercy on him. He said, all right, I forgive you. Otherwise, I would have to take your wife, your children, and all you have and put you into prison until you are able to pay every talent that you owe me. When this servant went out, he saw another fellow servant who owed him 100 pence. 100 pence is equivalent to about $3. The servant owed the master a very huge sum. The master forgave him. But his fellow servant owed him 100 pence, which is $2. He was not willing. And so he put him into prison. When the king heard of it, he was raged. What happened was that he put this man into prison until commanded that this man be what? Be passed over to the tormentors so that every cent could be paid. Beloved, are we willing to forgive people when they have done wrong against us? This is something that we ought to learn. The image that the Apostle Paul is teaching you and me, there are altogether six. First, merciful, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, and forgiveness. Do you know that our image could affect winning someone to Christ? Once in a mission hospital in Africa, there was a woman who was admitted, but this woman knew nothing about Christ and so forth. And when she was admitted, the nurses inside there and the doctor were so kind, so lovingly, that one day when she was cured, in fact when she went in, she was very serious, but she was totally cured. and wanting to go out. So the doctor and the nurses all came by her to bid farewell and said, "Do you like to know the Lord Jesus Christ?" You know what the woman said? "If Jesus is like this doctor, then I like to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Beloved, our image is very, very important. Just 2 weeks ago, when I was driving Mrs. Kwa to the market to buy some grated coconut, and that was a place where I knew the owner quite well. See? But then there was a car parked beside there. I could not park in. And the other car was wanting to move away soon. So I waited out there, double parking, waiting until I can, when he goes out, then I can go in. The moment when I wanting to, we went out, I wanting to drive in, there was a middle-aged man of about 30 years old, riding on a mic and shot inside into there. I almost hit him, but I quickly stopped. And so I pointed out to him, say, "I'm going to park there. And fortunately, I saw you, otherwise I would have run you down." He went inside there and told the proprietor, that shouted, and there were many people watching. I was trying to explain, but my car is outside there, I was afraid. But nevertheless, I had to tell him. See? So I walked down to him. "I know that you are a pastor. I know that you are a pastor. I go to church too." And so after buying this, the lady boss said, "I think this man must work up the wrong side of his bed. He is a Christian. He is a Christian. But you are not like him." Beloved, do you know that our image could help us to save people, bring them to Christ? Or our image could be what? A stumbling block. Beloved, what kind of image do you have? May the Lord bless you. The Apostle Paul spoke to the Colossians, said, "You must be merciful. You must have kindness. You must be humble. You must be meek, long-suffering, and to be able to forgive." Do we have that kind of image? May the Lord help me so that we could be able to be good testimony to save others to Christ. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank Thee from Thy word. For we know that Thou would like each and every one of us to exhibit and to manifest that we truly have the image of God and Jesus Christ in us. Help us, Lord, strengthen us day by day so that we may be able to do that and bring others to Christ. May Thy word continue to help each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.